praise God. Let's start this evening off with some praise and worship. Welcome to those online. Welcome to those who are new.
Jesus' name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I say yes Things to us, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the first and the last. Lord, we surrender all to you, and we worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Father, that you are here with us, doing new things, extraordinary things, compelling things to bring us to that place where we acknowledge without a doubt that your awesomeness, your glory has been revealed in us, with us, through us, and by us. We bless your holy name. We surrender our lives to you. Thank you, Lord, O God, for the grace to minister in your glory and from the place of your glory. We position ourselves to receive all that you have for us. Do a new thing, O God, as you've promised. So let it now be unto us, according to thy eternal word. Blessed Father, this we declare. In Yeshua's name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for every one of you that have come. Thank you for leading us in worship. We've had a very busy month with special meetings. And in a sense, I wanted to cancel tonight's meeting. Well, as tempted as I was, I felt that I needed to stay true to the grace that God has given to us to be with Him at this appointed time. Tonight we are going to continue our studies through the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be looking at the fourth chapter. But the fourth chapter forces us to go back to the third chapter. And I believe the last time we had our Bible studies was sometime in July. We had a break, and then it was August, and then we came into September with special meetings. And so let's look at the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. It says here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. The word prisoner is an interesting word. Desmios. And desmios means one who's been captured, a captive. Paul calls himself a captive of the Lord. And that's a thought that we generally, because whoever it is that the Son sets free, the truth sets free, is free indeed. How can you be free indeed and at the same time be a captive? I thought we were captives at one point with the devil, in bondage to the devil. Now you mean that we are in a different kind of a bondage? Yeah. But what kind of a bondage is this? It's a bondage that compels you, that sentences you to a life of victory. What do you think about that? One sentenced you to a life of defeat. The other one sentences you to a life of victory. You are bound, you're captured, captivated to be successful. Captivated by the love of God that causes you not to stray away, because you know that it's so good here, why do I want to mess with that? How captures, and what is it exactly that captures us? Let's go back to chapter 3 on why he says, I therefore. Because when you see that word therefore, you must ask yourself, what is this therefore? So in chapter 3, we read these words. We'll take it from about, let's take it up from about verse 14. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a cause for which I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You're strengthened with might, the might of God, by his Spirit in your inner man. Why? Why do I need to be strengthened in my inner man? Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You need to be strengthened so that Christ can dwell in your hearts by faith. Strengthened with might so that he can dwell. But John tells us that he comes to dwell in us because we are walking in love. So to be strengthened with might by his Spirit is to be strengthened with the love of God. That the love of God resides in me. The love of God enlarges my capacity to stand. And this is going to make a whole load of sense when we come to chapter 4 in just a moment. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. What does faith have to do with it? Faith worketh by love. You are going to be effective because of the love of God inside of you, and faith comes by hearing. So if we are strengthened so that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, it also means that Christ that dwells in our hearts by faith is coming, having entrance to the Word, and the Word is having entrance to our hearts. And what is that doing? It is bringing us to a place of where we are continually obedient. So what is the prisoner supposed to do? The prisoner is supposed to listen to the instruction of the captor. That makes sense? Well, that ye being rooted, there we go, rooted and grounded in love, because that's what is strengthening you in your inner man, you've been rooted. Being is present tense continuous. So it's not something that happened in the past and doesn't continue to happen. No, you are being consistently being rooted. You're getting grounded, rooted in love. may be able to do what? Not only do you get to have Jesus come and dwell in your heart, but now you'll be able to also comprehend, come to a clear understanding, embrace truth. When love is not in us, we do not embrace truth. Katalambano is the word for comprehend, and it is a powerful word, katalambano, to come to a very clear, sharp understanding, to take eagerly, to seize a hold of something. The Bible tells us that it is the violent that take it by force, the things of the kingdom. And katalambano, God is saying, when I come and I dwell in you with love, you will be able to come to a place where you take possession, you seize on things that are rightfully yours, and you take a hold of it, that you're not watching other people making it and you not making it, but you take a hold of that which you need to apprehend and attain forcefully, with all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and we've gone through all of this, so let me not get bogged down there, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. The Word of God tells us in all of your getting, get understanding, get knowledge. But the Word of God says here, there is a place where you go beyond what regular knowledge is. Why? That he might be filled. This is where it is knowledge. That he might be filled with all the fullness of God. With all the fullness of God. All of God in you. Jesus, our Lord, tells us that when we're walking in love with each other, he and the Father will come and make an abode with us. So the call is a call to love. Now, we can be challenged in so many ways by people that we come in contact with day in, day out. Might be a brother, a sister, a spouse, children, friends, or so-called friends, fellow employees, fellow people that you deal with in life that are rubbing you the wrong way constantly, and you want to fall out of walk, the walk of love with them. And God, but God says, listen, you need to stay in that place of love. Love is even more so effective when the one that you love in is not lovable. It's easy to love people that act nice. It's another thing to love people that are acting crazy. But while we're yet sinners, not when we were saints, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for the ungodly. He died for people who did not deserve it. I want to pray, you know, lightning and thunder and everything. And God says, no. Know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, so that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So the challenges to my love walk are only trying to deny me of my fullness in God and the fullness of God in me. And so when you and I are challenged in our love walk, we've got to make a decision and say, you are not going to rob me of the fullness of God. You're not going to rob me of the fullness of God. I refuse to allow you or anything to rob me of the fullness of God. I want to be filled with all the fullness of God. I am going to walk in love. I'm going to do the right thing. Now, doing the right thing doesn't necessarily mean how do I put this? Doing the right thing means to do the right thing for the person that you are dealing with. And the right thing may not necessarily always be yes. Sometimes the right thing is no. It might sound mean, but it's a love thing to do. Yeah? Okay, so doing operating in the spirit of love does not necessarily always mean I'm a nice guy. I'm a nice guy if you have the love or knowledge or the love of Christ with past knowledge. If you really know why I'm doing this, you will thank me that I said no. Praise the Lord. So that the fullness of God is manifested. So my actions are always based on love, not on vengeance or hate or apathy or indifference. Love. That must be the driving force. So what is this I'm a prisoner about? It's about being a prisoner of love. Next verse. It goes on. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, which power is the power of the fullness of God, which is the power of love. For God is what? God is love. So if the fullness of God comes to dwell in me, then the fullness of love is dwelling in me. Make sense? It says, unto him be the glory in the church. The glory of God is manifested in the church by love, by Christ Jesus, through all ages, through all times, world without end. Amen. It's always going to be about love. Now, that's remarkable. Because when we talk about love and the glory of God in the church and the love of God, and it is throughout all ages, throughout all generations, and throughout all seasons, and then world without end, meaning throughout the existence of a world that is without end, then that makes us consider if this love is so fierce, what is hell about? Well, this is strange because hell is about God's love. So what? How can the place of torment be the place of love? Well, it's like this. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 that Jesus died for all his creation. He died for all creation, including principalities and powers, things seen and things unseen. So when Jesus died for all of his creation, he didn't just die for me as a person, he died for all of his creation, including the devil. Now, we don't want to hear that. You know, this is where we really get upset. How can God have paid the price for the redemption of the devil? Also, the devil is such a bad devil. I say, yeah. But can you imagine the devil saying, God, you're God of love, aren't you? Yeah. These people sinned, didn't they? Yes. And you have a solution for their redemption? Yes. Did I sin? Yes, you did. What is the price for my redemption? Nothing for you. Then you can't be a God of love. So God paid the price for everybody and gave everyone the ability to choose. So God set apart a millennium, 1,000 years. 1,000 years. If devil, you didn't get it yet, I'll put you in prison for 1,000 years and I will spring you out after 1,000 years and give you another opportunity. But the devil comes out and acts up again. He says, I guess the loving thing I can do for you is put you in the place of bondage where you belong, because that's where you want. I cannot change you. So there you go. But the irony of it is, whoever it is that you get married to that person you belong. So the devil was able to convince a whole group of people to come against God after a millennium of his reign without the devil. No devil tempting them. They see the goodness of God for a whole 1,000 years. And the devil shows up and they refuse to accept what the goodness of God. And they rebel against God. God says, okay, go pack yourself in the lake of fire. So it's God honoring your decision. Love says, I honor your decision. God loves us to the utmost. Amen? And so when we come to the fourth chapter, it says, because I know this love, I therefore, the prisoner of love, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation, the calling, the classes. Amen? Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Ye are called by love, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another. How? In love. We see talking about love here. It says, forbear each other in love. Be long suffering in love. Be meek. Exercise self-control over your strength in love. Practice lowliness, humility in love, with all lowliness. Hallelujah. Humility, modesty, with long suffering. Long suffering. Hang in there. Forbear with each other. Have a fortitude about you. That is something that is missing from so many lives. So people just break up. They've been married 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. They divorce. I can't stand it no more. Well, why not? It's an issue of long suffering. And God says, I want you to forbear each other in love. Be patient. Hang in there. Be the prisoner of love. Endeavoring, doing everything to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ah, if I've been captured by love, what is holding it together? The peace of God. Now, what does that all together mean? The irene of God. In the Old Testament, it's shalom, shalem, nothing missing, nothing broken, everything together. And he's saying, I want you to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit. What is the unity of the Spirit? It says endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. So what is the unity of the Spirit? It's the same thing that I've been talking about all this time. It's a simple four-letter word, love. It says keep, endeavoring to keep in the state of love by establishing peace. That whatever way you can do it, just do that. Keeping the unity of the Spirit. Sometimes keeping the unity of the Spirit is walking away from a situation. Being calm. I'm not getting into this fight with you. I'm not going to debate whether I'm right or wrong. I'm just going to step away from this. And I'll come back. And we can talk later. It's called the unity of the Spirit. And do it in the bond of peace. Amen? Hallelujah. Endeavoring to do that. Endeavor, fight for that. Fight to accomplish that. He says, why? There is one body. So if you're not keeping the bond of peace, you're fighting against yourself. You've become your own cancerous cell. You're one body. And you have one spirit, the Spirit of God. That's in you, that's in me, that's in you, that's in you, that's in all of us. One spirit. And so if I create a disturbance in the system, I'm creating a disturbance for me. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. So whatever it is that you're doing against yourself. You're fighting against your brother. You think you're winning? You're losing. If he loses, you lose. We are here to stand with each other and help each other make right decisions. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. One God. And Father of all, who is above all. He's above all. And watch this. And through all. One Father, one God, who is through all and in you all. So when you are fighting against each other, you're fighting yourself and you're fighting the goodness of God in your life. You're not hurting anybody else. You're hurting yourself. If father or mother is busy cursing his own children, he's cursing who? You're cursing yourself. If those children are living like vagabonds because you're busy cursing them and confirming that they are a failure, it comes back on you. Your husband calling your wife all kinds of crazy names, cursing your wife, or your wife cursing the husband. Who are you cursing? Really? Are you not cursing your own self? If one moment you're cursing your husband, say, you foolish man, you're useless, you're not even a man, you are whatever, blah, 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 and you go. Next moment you say, can I have $5? You just cursed him and told him he's useless and he's not a man. Now you're asking for $5. Come on. Give me a break. What are you talking about? And so many times that's what we do. When we're not operating in the spirit of love, we don't understand. And we're cursing something and blasting this and whatever else, that you're doing it to yourself. So why rather than tear that person down, why don't you build them up in the spirit of love? And in the process, they will rise up to whatever it is that you're calling them by faith. You're calling those things which be not as though they were. Abraham was being called Lord by Sarah, not because he was acting like a good guy, and the guy is jumping, you know, to, hey, guy, you know, still Lord, come on, please, excuse me. But the language of faith, the language of love, changes things. And God says, you've got one God and one Father of all, who is above all and through all. He's a thread. If I had a string of beads, you have an understanding. If you cut one of those strings, does that bracelet or that string stick together? It falls apart. It just falls apart all over the place. God is that string that links every one of us. Love links all of us. And when we cut that string of love, everything falls apart. Families fall apart. Communities fall apart. Countries fall apart. The world falls apart. And so Paul rightfully says, I'm a prisoner for unity, for oneness, for love, for wholeness, for continuity, for legacy. I'm not here to destroy my brother. I'm here to build up my brother. He may be doing some crazy stuff, but I'm here to love, to restore, to establish. You know, the Lord says to Peter, he says, when you are strengthened, when you're now strong, strengthen your brothers. And guess what? He said prior to that, do you love me? Do you love me? Is that what he said? He said, when you're strong, when this love strengthens you, strengthen your brothers. This Bible, this Word of God is so remarkable. The more I study the Word of God, the more I'm amazed at the wisdom of God. It's all, you know, it's all together. It's one thing. That's why I keep on saying I've been preaching one message since the Lord called me into the ministry, because I see that it's just one same string running through. No matter what the subject is, no matter what the subject is, it ends up coming to this crucial point of the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts. Hallelujah. Love causes us to serve each other. Love causes us to help each other. Love removes us from the place of competing one with the other. You know, the more days I am capturing, the more I'm recognizing the futility in so many battles that people engage themselves in. Because the bottom, when you look at it, you say, what were we fighting about? You know, well, you know, you have a husband or a wife and busy, you know, griping and scratching each other's eyes out, and one of them dies. What do you remember? All of those things become like nothing. What were we fighting about? You didn't put the toilet paper properly? Before you know it, you start doing it the way the guy did it. That used to upset you. Give me a break. What is this? You know, so you just take life easy. Just chill. Just cool it. not worth it. Too many things that people squabble over, it's not really worth it. It really isn't. Anyhow, let's go on. It says, but unto every one of us is given grace and ability according to the measure of the gift of Christ, which is the gift of faith and the gift of love. Every one of us has been given grace and enablement to do what we cannot do by our own strength and our own ability. We've been given what we need for whatever situation that we're facing. There's grace for it. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. Those that were held in captivity by the devil were now his captives. He led captivity captive by love and gave gifts unto men. He gave gifts unto men. And in the book of Psalms, in the Psalms, it says, even to the rebellious. Even unto the rebellious. You know, God is still trying to show his love. He says, that's the kind, that's what I want you to demonstrate one towards the other. And I give you grace to do that, to just love people. Just love. When we love, we don't think evil about each other. When we love, we don't try to tear each other down. When we love, we don't try to sabotage the other because we're in competition with them. You know, we do differently. Your brother falls, you stop to help him. We don't start finding 20 reasons why you fell and blah, 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 blah. Forget about all of that. Let's deal with that later. But right now, you're hurting, let's heal you, and then we can afterward talk about it. What happened? How did we get here? I know you. How did you fall into this sin? What happened? Let's talk about it. So that doesn't happen anymore. And in fact, the word of God says, it says, when you see a brother fail, it says, you, with all humility, restore him so that you don't fall into the same mess. Don't go around being arrogant and pointing fingers. You know, my dad used to say, you know, when one finger is pointing, three or four are pointing back at you. So be careful how you're pointing that finger. He gave gifts unto men. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, even unto the rebellious. And verse 9 says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Before he went up, he went down, all the way down. Because he wants to get everybody out. That must be the pursuit of our hearts, to make sure that everybody gets out. Not just me, us. We are one people. If anybody's left behind, I'm left behind. We've got to do all we can to be of help to those that we need to deal with. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens. Far above all heavens. If it says heavens there, then there's more than one heaven. We know this heaven just in our atmosphere here, a sky and space. But there's a second heaven where the enemy operates from, and there is the third heaven. At least we know of three based on scriptures. Whether there are more, God will show to us at some point. But for now, he's shown us three, and we work with our three. He says, he ascended up far above all heavens. So he's above all heavens. Why? That he might fill all things. That he might fill all things with what? Himself, his love. What does that mean? It means that God wants to create an atmosphere that is not hazardous to us. Hazard, danger, came because of sin. And sin came because man did not believe that God loves him as much as God should. Because the devil said, God's hiding something from you. He knows that the day that you eat of it, you're going to be like him. You're going to be God. But we're already created in the image and likeness of God. And man not believing that he's loved caused man to fail. And from that point, everything became enemies. Families became enemies with each other. Animals became enemies to man, and man enemies to animals, and so the battle has been. But God wants to create an atmosphere where it says even the lion and the lamb will lie together. A little child will be playing with a poisonous, venomous snake, and no danger. No danger. God creating an atmosphere that is just glorious. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? That God wants that for us? That we can live in a hazard-free zone because he's filling all things. Because he's above all things and filling all things. First of all, he's filling us, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. So what does that do? It lifts us, watch this, it lifts us to be above the heavens. Now, why is that important? Why is that important? Because we, as people, are not going to be in the same class as the angels. We are of a higher class. And the Bible says, God looks down to behold the things that are in the heavens. Heaven is where he sits. But he's above heaven and looks down at heaven. The earth is his footstool. And if we are in him, then we are in that same position. Praise God. It's hard for people to believe certain things because they don't believe that God loves them that much to make that to be the truth. But what God says is what God means. Amen? Hallelujah. And we'll wrap up with the next verse. It says, and he gave some apostles, these are giftings, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. These are the fivefold ministries, ministry gifts that he gave. And we'll take it up from there next time. What is an apostle? What are prophets? What are evangelists? What are pastors and teachers? And is it possible to operate in all five? Because it's like the five fingers. What I can say to us right now is this, It's only the apostle that can flow in all of those ministry gifts. The apostle, like a finger, touches the prophet, touches the evangelist, touches the pastor, touches the teacher. It's the only finger that can do it. All the others cannot. And so it is the highest level in gifting that God can bring a son or a daughter to. And you cannot be an apostle without having a prophetic edge, without having an evangelistic edge, without having a pastoral edge, without having a teaching edge. So I'm an apostle, but you're not a good teacher? Forget you. You're not an apostle. Because if you're an apostle, you're going to be a teacher. If you're an apostle, you're going to have a pastoral grace on your life. If you're an apostle, you are going to be an evangelist, a soul winner. If you're an apostle, you're going to have a prophetic edge. You're going to prophesy and speak prophetic declarations, because the apostle is the foundation that carries and works very closely with the prophets. The apostle and the prophets, they are foundational ministries or callings that help the church become an impactful church. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the grace to receive your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, O God, for the activities of your presence in our lives all through this month. Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We thank you for what you have done. And we thank you for the grace, O God, of your anointing that is destroying yokes and removing burdens. On this, the last service day that we have, Lord, O God, let this month be crowned with your glory upon our lives. Let every need be met. Thank you, Lord, O God, for the unction, O God, to function under your grace that will bring about a dysfunctioning of all the activities of the enemy. We thank you, Lord, O God, that there is total confusion in the territory of the enemy. And Lord, O God, your people are bound together by the spirit of your love and your peace. And the fullness of your personhood is in us. Thank you, Father, for new life in you. Thank you, Lord, for new beginnings and for divine prosperity. Amen and amen. In Yeshua's name, we call it so done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, honor God with your giving. And those of you that are home, we bless you. May the peace of God garrison your hearts. And we look forward to being with you on Friday for a very special time of ministry together. But before we go today, I'd like to have the promo for our next conference up. The next conference is called Glory Fest. Glory Fest. And this daughter has done a great job, you know, producing great videos for each of the meetings. And I don't know what she's going to be giving to us today, whether it's a video or just a regular promo sheet. Either one will do. It's taking some time, but it will come up.